and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
And yet it's cloudy outside.
We got ourselves a window. Don't start that, Jim. We're on national television. Is it cloudy where you are?
No.
Call now. 6 minutes after the
it's
hour.
It's for local small market radio. We don't do that anymore.
1-800-STEP-12.
They ain't related, but they do be brothers.
Oh, God.
So you know when you get in those slow news summer weeks.
Yeah.
Well.
I think I'm going to start being a radio buker. One of those
we're
guys.
We're this close to Dangerous 70s toys and songs done in the wrong
style.
Style. Yeah.
Oh,
all right.
We did that for a whole summer.
We did songs done in the wrong style for a whole summer.
In producer land, it's this. It's the stretch.
Exactly.
Stretch all summer. And a fill.
And I think it was smack dab in the middle of, in between presidential elections. And so that summer, there was nothing.
Crickets.
Yeah.
Tumbleweeds.
The bad news is that we've had tragedy this summer. The good news is there's still Republican idiots around to say stupid things about it. So.
You mean like Gomer?
We're moving on
now. Moving on from
Gomer
that.
Was yesterday's.
Even, wow.
Today's is Russell Pierce,
guy. Remember, he was
the author of
no relation to Charlie.
No.
The Arizona author of SB 1070, yes.
Russell Pierce, he on his Facebook claimed the shooting victims lacked the courage to stop the gunmen.
Yeah.
It's really their fault because they weren't, you know, manned up enough and armed enough.
It was their way.
That's what you should do when you go to a movie is you should plan
sure.
for,
yeah.
you know.
It was their fault for not getting, you know, for getting in the way of the bullets.
Yeah, and not being manly men
right.
enough. He said, where were the men of, like, Flight 93? Where? I mean, really? Is this what we come to in America? You need to come, like, dressed like Rambo and prepared for,
that's not
you
the
know,
America I want to live in.
Either a movie or a shootout?
Yeah,
like,
not the America I want to live in. I'm sorry, Russell.
Our good friend Jason Alexander jumped into the gun control fray, so we're going to try to get him on as soon as we can. It's good for him. Good for him. I'm tired of it being, it's just like, oh, no, that debate's over. Really? Really?
Maybe we should airlift that guy into Afghanistan since he's a macho
man. Yeah, he's so manly. Yeah. Do I have one of my men's songs? I just
throw him out the back of a C-130.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay.
Yeah. No.
I sleep all night and I work all day.
Now, already this early into the show, I need to say the Stephanie Miller Show apologizes, is not suggesting that former Arizona State Senator Russell Pierce be thrown out of the back of
with a parachute.
C-130. Oh.
But, you know.
The Stephanie Miller Show, which is to retract its retraction. We did not realize Jim Warren read him the parachute.
With a parachute.
In which
I'll
case,
give him a parachute.
We are all for that because he can prove his manliness.
And a pocket knife. Parachute and a pocket knife. There you go.
Somebody at Newsbusters is just, they had a little premature, like, no,
damn it. I tell you a little
bit. I think they injured their fingers on the keyboard right there. Joe! See? The left is just as bad.
Did I tell you the little behind-the-scenes story I had with Russell Pierce when I worked in Arizona?
No, do tell.
We were getting him on the air for an interview, and this little kid answers the phone. Russell, we'd love to speak with Russell Pierce. Hold on. Then you hear a toilet flush very, very loudly.
No way.
Yes. Several times.
Several times.
The kid like, you know, was like a Palin. Did he scream like the F word for gay man? That's on radio!
Might as well have been.
The radio!
And like, that's
on
a
phone.
That's a family with class.
Hey, get a look at this log.
Get a load of this.
Sploosh.
So that was my encounter. Yeah, that was my encounter with Russell Pierce.
Hello, is your dad? Okay, you know what? I'll call back.
Sploosh. Wow.
See, he is a manly man. He was log rolling. He's a lumberjack.
He's a lumberjack.
Then he walked up to the phone.
He was just dropping some kids off at the lake.
All right.
What?
That's it. We're officially having too much fun.
Okay. Yeah, the poop humor coming before.
Not everyone has that story.
Yeah.
So I call Russell Pierce. He's taken it.
I've been holding.
And he's Lansing Campbell.
Yeah. I've been holding that with me for, 10 years now.
You had to let that out?
I had to let that out.
That story's a little backed up?
It was a backed up. I needed some colon blow.
Wow.
Yep. I bet they're manly. Those are big manly.
Yeah. Big manly.
Yes.
Yeah.
No small ones.
For Russell Pierce.
Oh, Rich, I thought you were so rugged.
I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know. Huh? Corn? When did I eat an illegal immigrant that ate corn? All right.
Anyway, so that happened.
You know when it feels, you know when you've had that happen, when it feels like I've eaten glass?
Glass.
I bet you he does, just when it's sharp. You know what I'm saying? We've all had them.
When did I eat glass?
Right. I bet you he does on purpose. I bet he eats lightning and he craps thunder.
He's so manly.
He eats nails. Yeah. That's how tough he is.
All right. Yes. Here is the original. Oh, my God. And then his, by the way, then his correction, oftentimes at the right way, was even worse.
Oh, yeah.
Though the alleged gunman at the theater, as we should recall, was armed to the teeth, able to fire off 60 rounds in the first minute, dressed fully in bulletproof gear, former Arizona
throwing
State...
Throwing tear gas canisters.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And a cup, just in case. Because he clearly had a lot of manliness to protect as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He had more body armor than most of our troops get.
Yeah, thank you. It's certainly than George Bush sent them into war with.
Yeah.
Senator Russell Pierce thinks one of the people in the theater should have been able to take him down. So this is one step further than Gohmert. Like, why wasn't anyone packing?
Right.
This is like, you know, why wasn't anyone packing and they're a bunch of wusses? In his Facebook post that has since been deleted, Pierce criticized the people in the theater for a lack of courage and for not being armed.
What?
Saying that if they had been, they could have saved lives. All was needed was one courage slash brave man prepared mentally or otherwise to stop this, and it could have been done. So if you go to the movies apparently not packing and you do nothing, if you don't charge the gunman, then you're a giant wuss,
right.
I guess. Here was the original, I guess I need fun facts.
Fun facts?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Had someone been prepared and armed, they could have stopped this bad man from most of this tragedy.
Most.
He's a little armchair hero, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was 2 and 3 feet away from folks. I understand he had to stop and reload. Where were the men of Flight 93? Someone should have stopped this man. Someone could have stopped this man. Lives were lost because of a bad man, not because he had a weapon, but because no one was prepared to stop it. Had they been prepared to save their
one
lives
thing,
or the
he
lives...
had more than one weapon.
Yeah, and the terrorist on Flight 93 had a box cutter. This guy had... a semi-automatic weapon.
And by the way, there were a lot of heroes in there.
Yeah.
People dove in front of other people
in
and
front
took
of their
bullets
girlfriends.
For people.
Right.
People that held their fingers in someone's wound rather than running away. I mean, this guy's a...
But they didn't kill anybody, so they weren't very manly.
Let's see.
And they don't crap as big as I do.
Okay, let's not bring it back to
Sorry.
That.
Sorry. I would have just crapped on him. That would have stopped him.
I'm so sorry you brought that.
Cable isn't manly enough to carry current.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point is... had they been prepared to save their lives or the lives of others' lives, would have been saved. All that was needed was one courage slash brave man prepared mentally. I don't know. That's, grammar is not his strong suit. Mm. Pierce, of course, best known for authoring the anti-immigrant SB 1070. Mm. He was exposed just last week for writing hateful racist emails about Latinos in his state.
Yep.
When Pierce as a manly man will do.
Yes. When Pierce was inevitably called out by local media for his insensitivity, he walked back his earlier statements, a little moonwalk, saying he meant that gun control laws were entirely to blame and not the victims themselves. Am I right? Does this make it even worse? So it's not the wusses in the theater. It's that our wussy gun control laws did not allow them to be armed enough.
Right. Or didn't allow the shooter to have more guns.
Sure.
Because.
Sure. Yeah. Those toddlers in there were not packing, clearly.
Wow.
Anyway, so here's his whiny, not even a retraction. It shouldn't... didn't take long for the Arizona Republic to try and mischaracterize my earlier post as some sort of attack on the victims of the horrific attack in Colorado.
But it was an attack on the victims.
Yeah. All I did was lament that so many people should be left disarmed and vulnerable by anti-gun... A lot of them could have had guns. They don't choose to take...
Right.
AK-47s to the movie.
Let's go to the movies, and I'll bring my Glock.
Honey, get the shoulder launch.
Yeah.
You want butter on your ammunition?
Not the kind of America I want to live in, where everybody is armed with an AK-47.
Yeah. Honey, get the rocket launcher strapped on the toddlers, and let's go. I mean, seriously? All I did was somebody was vulnerable by anti-gun rules that try to create a sense of safety by posting a sign that says no guns. Oh, because the theater has no gun sign, see, so... when the only real effect is to disarm everyone who could have saved lives. The madman had guns, but even those with training to handle a firearm could not stop him because they had been disarmed. Had they been prepared and been able to fire on their attacker,
lives
could have
been
saved.
Full body armor. Half-wit.
In Arizona, yes, that's... He's done some special things in Arizona, that's for sure. In Arizona, we pass laws to free our people so they can defend themselves and their loved ones. You cannot predict where evil will raise its head, but you can be prepared for it.
Yeah. Ooh, I can predict where it raises its head.
Yeah, that's Russell Pierce's America. Everyone brown goes to jail, and everyone's packing everywhere all the time.
Yeah, and shooting milly-milly inside a pitch-black theater.
Can I just say, speaking of what he was doing when you called him, that's what he would have done in the theater if he'd been in there.
Yeah.
Even if he was packing, would have just, that's all that would have been left is duty. And,
right. Because have you seen him? He is a doughy pant load.
Kidding me?
He is.
If you see him, yeah, right. Okay, Rambo, thanks.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he would have done such a doo-doo in his pants and ran out of there. And you know what? Can I just say, when he ran out of the theater, his feet would have hit his butt just like a girl.
Don't.
Oh, there he is.
That's the way I ran when I was a kid. Stop it.
That's my point.
Yeah, I know. Now you're bringing up painful childhood issues.
All right.
Here in the Russell Pierce page, they have a picture of Jan Brewer when she was about 12.
Ah!
Yeah, she looks 60 good. Then?
No.
She does. I got to see that. That was when she was a baby saddlebag?
Yeah.
Oh.
She was just an evening clutch.
Sure.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Why do I bother doing show prep when
stick
the only
the man.
Important thing is to move the monitor so people can see my boobs better?
Yeah.
Why do I bother preparing? I don't understand.
That wasn't an issue when we were just radio.
No, it wasn't.
People don't objectify Jackie Schechner that way.
Yeah,
oh, yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
All right.
That's Tommy
and
Columbus
about
that.
Barely a journalist. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Charles in South Carolina. Hi, Charles.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just wondering, I've heard, you know, the Republicans and the running the campaign go after Obama for not doing a lot in 3.5 years. Yet I've heard his campaign saying it would take Romney 8 years to fix the problem of the economy. And I was trying to figure out, is there any way that you can bring out that point on your radio?
I think we do every day.
Yes.
But I could be wrong. You can't miss another minute. Sue in Rockville, Maryland on Russell Pierce. Hi, Sue. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. I have two important things to tell you this morning.
Yes, all right.
First of all, calling Russell Pierce a half-wit is an insult to half-wits. Okay, half-wits at least have half. I mean, the Russell Pierces, the Louis Gohmerts, the Michelle Bachmans are operating in a world of crazy that defines any use. If you attach EEG things to their heads, there's zero activity.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, I do want to say a rest in peace to the great Sally Ride.
I know. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just want to say, you know, she was the first, not only such an important a female astronaut, but she was the first openly gay. She was quietly gay astronaut.
I had no idea.
I did not know
I had no idea until I read in her obituary yesterday that she was survived by her partner.
I did not know that.
Well, I just want you to know, when I found out that Sally Ride was gay, it meant absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It means nothing.
Yeah.
And I wish all
That's
those
awesome.
Haters would just, you know, and take the Chick-fil-A guys and tell them to get
you
the
see?
Hell out of town.
Stereotypes
gay
mean nothing,
nothing.
Sue. Just because she was that comfortable in the cockpit does not mean...
What? We thank her for what she did for women
for her service?
In
yes.
America.
Of course we do. I just hadn't heard that. I was in a little bit of shock. You'll have to pardon me. You opened with the Russell Pierce taking a giant...
Well, yeah, but he's...
On the...
He
driving the
didn't just
porcelain bus. All right, let's... okay. The good news is, you know, Jim, a lot of people I know having really bad couple of weeks. But it could be worse. You could have a 160-pound scrotum. And that's let us judge everything in our lives now by this new standard.
You weigh less than that guy's scrotum.
Yes.
You weigh a lot less.
You weigh about half that.
He needs to take the scrotum spinning.
You're half a scrotum.
Oh, no. He can't ride a bike.
Aw, honey, are you, well, you say that's all the girls. You're just saying that to be sweet.
Wow.
As usual, Gawker brings us this. It's,
yeah, of course.
They're obsessed with the TLC show Strange Sex.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, who wouldn't be?
I have not seen this, and now I need to tune in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wesley and his giant ball sack.
Says what?
Says what? Donkey presses. 160 pounds, 6 feet in circumference.
Wow.
And that.
Where, okay.
All right.
There's so many questions.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah,
okay.
I know. And yet, no answers.
Big and tall shop? I mean, you'd have to.
He needs to drain that swamp. That's
yeah.
Something.
Can't you lance that
lance
oil?
It. Something. Yeah.
What things you used to hop on in the 70s?
Pogo sticks.
No. The big ball with the handle on
it. Oh, excuse me. Oh. That's yes, that's what it looks like. Exercise ball.
Yeah, well, it's a combination pogo stick and sit and spin. I know exactly what you're talking about.
No, he's talking about the exercise ball.
Yeah.
No, it's not
literally.
An exercise ball. It's a
big ball with a handle on top and you bounce.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning into Ball Talk. Let's.
Well, you brought it up.
He likens it to a very, very juicy Thanksgiving turkey.
Okay.
He was featured on TLC Strange Sex.
Yeah.
He waddles everywhere with a sweatshirt holding his humongous bits in place. Or bit.
Bits?
Not.
There too.
Well, yeah.
Well,
the other
okay.
Third portion of that is obscured, apparently. By
his home healthcare worker, yeah. Passion, that's her real name.
Passion.
Wow.
Describes how the, what do you call them? The berries have grown over the penis. They've grown, they've like
yeah,
over, like the blob. They've,
sure,
yes,
right.
They've over, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like an avalanche. There's been a ball avalanche that has entirely covered the important
but, everything else has
but
to get
but
out
the berries
of the way.
Are usually below the twig,
right,
so it would have to
I
grow
don't...
up
yeah.
And then down again.
That's what, no, the mind boggles. Now you got to see this, right?
Yeah.
No,
Wesley suffers from.
Okay, maybe I don't have to see this.
I got to see it. Wesley suffers from scrotal lymphedema. And it is growing at the rate of 50 pounds a year.
So this isn't, like, life-threatening or anything. It's just annoying.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He needs surgery, but he... I love this. At the end of the segment, there's a title that reads, Dr. Goldenstein has offered to find an affordable surgical team to conduct Wesley's operation, but Wesley remains hesitant. Don't know, attached to it, or...
Or does he not have the funds, or...
Yeah. He seems to think it'll cost millions of dollars. I don't know, how much can it... Get a cost to get a ball reduced.
Well, it's fluid.
Yeah,
that's
well,
fluid.
Oh,
that's
fluid. Yeah,
or it could
yeah.
Also
well,
be calcified,
be,
and so that's a bit of a problem too.
He could be attached to it,
but
he could get
limp.
Help with that hump, is what he's saying.
Yes,
the
well,
doctor's
hump.
Saying. Maybe he doesn't think there's anything weird.
Perhaps I could help you with that hump. What hump?
I don't think humping is on the menu. That's not going to happen.
This is an analogy I can finally make, that this is just like the blob. This will be coming out of a movie theater soon. This will be pouring out of... Wow. So, there you go. Whatever's going wrong in your life, you could have a 160-pound ball sack.
We've covered a lot in this first half hour, haven't
wow.
We?
You know what? I think I'm going home now. I can't top this.
You'd miss Willie Nelson.
You know, Jackie Schechter's a healthcare expert. Let's
yeah.
Cover about the 60.
Would that be covered under Obamacare?
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow, I would experiment with that girl.
Too small.
That's me for 2 weeks in college.
How do you let it get to 160 pounds? I would think at
your
10,
ball sack?
You would think,
yeah. You're still
there's
on
something
this?
Wrong here.
You know, we probably
I
should not have brought up
legs.
The 160-pound scrotum this early in the show because I sense something
we
like
we talk about
yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a thread.
Like a fascinating mobile. It will just hang over the show for the rest of the morning. In my thought bubble.
Yeah.
Okay. 34 minutes after the hour. One, do not bring up the ball sack with Willie Nelson.
No.
We don't get big name bookings that often. And Willie Nelson and Annie, his beautiful wife Annie, are
yep.
Coming on the show today.
And you can still purchase...
We're auctioning off their tickets. They cannot make it to Sexy Liberal. Their son's band is playing, but they bought like four VIP, like, sweet orchestra seats, and the show is almost sold out for Saturday at the Pantages. Mm. So go to stephaniemiller.com.
Yep, and there's a little banner ad on the right side where it says bid on the tickets, and just do it right there.
Yeah, and the money goes to his awesome charity, the biodiesel. You know, we'll talk to him about all that stuff.
Sustainable green energy.
Yeah, he's been a sexy liberal
for a long time.
Before I was a twinkle in my dad's 160. All right, you know what?
What?
Never mind. My point is, he was the original sexy liberal.
Yes.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Cindy in Georgia. Hi, Cindy. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I wanted to call for a couple of reasons. One is to let you know that your show has saved my sanity.
Oh, dear.
Seriously.
Oh.
My husband and I relocated from urban Southern California, we're progressive, liberal, Democrats, to semi-rural Georgia.
Oh, dear.
Yikes.
And I cannot even, I can't go to the doctor, I cannot do laundry, anything without fakey Fox News on as loud as possible.
Oh.
And a couple of weeks ago, my husband and I discovered your show, and it is like practically a morning routine for us.
So, like Russell Pierce's morning routine.
You can add Sanity Saver to your list of accomplishments.
Cindy, I always fear for people that are hinging their sanity on this show, but I applaud you for it.
Well, you know, under the circumstances, believe me, it's warranted.
All right. So go ahead. You had some thoughts on the whole Colorado tragedy.
Right. Well, there actually, the main thing on that is I've been hearing a lot, you know, this is always going to generate the gun control, NRA knee-jerk reflex type of thing. But I'm starting to see a lot on the internet and Facebook and on cable about why in the heck can't we control the frickin' ammunition?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. You know, Senator Lautenberg, Cindy, is reintroducing this. And, of course, everybody goes, oh, there's no chance. But that's what people don't realize. It's the magazines that were banned under the assault ban.
Right.
And that's exactly what we're talking about. What did I just say? This guy got off 60 shot in a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
Before his gun jammed.
And the other thing is, you know, I'm not anti-gun. I mean, it has a place. It wasn't in my apartment in San Diego.
Right.
However, a pellet gun out here to keep the squirrels out of our garden is appropriate. You know, big deal. But the thing is, even in a hunting culture, come on, you're going to shoot a deer with 500 rounds and then eat it? Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's jerky at that point. What is it you're protecting your garden from, did you say?
Squirrels.
Squirrels.
Well, we have squirrels, moles, voles.
Moles. Oh, my God. You're Bill Murray. You're Bill Murray in Caddyshack.
Well, we have groundhogs. We have one groundhog and we have a fox. We also have
you're going to get that in Georgia.
Yeah.
So far the deer have only eaten our tomatoes and one cayenne pepper.
I'm sure it didn't come back for the cayenne pepper.
See?
I was going to say, somehow we haven't seen two as many
women
got into the cayenne.
Why can't we all just be armed with cayenne peppers instead of guns? There you go.
Right.
All right, that was a long night in the forest. That was a Russell Pearson night in the forest.
Oh.
What the hell?
What did I
eat? My ass is on fire.
At least I don't have 160 pounds scrotum.
You see what I'm saying? He's going to bring it back to every... Okay, Dan and...
See what you did? See what you started?
We're having a ball today. Dan and... Dan in Virginia. Hi, Dan.
Hello. If you built the business alone, then you don't need government tax favoritism. Pay your freaking taxes. I mean that's my thing. To me, instead of trying to explain it, you should come back.
I'm missing your point somehow. Say this one more time.
I'm taking what Romney, this little stunt about you didn't build it. And coming back with, instead of trying to explain it and apologize for what you actually meant, you come back with, you take it on to the tax issue.
Yeah.
If you built the business alone, then you don't need tax favoritism.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
What I'm
saying. Yeah. By the way, hey, Jim, I have a guess the quote for you. This is from, 2002. Winter 2002. That's a little hint.
It was the winter of our discontent.
Made glorious summer. Oh.
Okay. Who said you Olympians, however, know you didn't get here solely on your own power? For most of you, loving parents, sisters, or brothers encouraged your hopes, coaches guided, communities built venues in order to organize competitions. All Olympians stand on the shoulders of those who lifted them. We've already cheered the Olympians. Let's also cheer the parents, coaches, and communities. Who said that?
Millard Fillmore.
No, that was a bad guess. Mitt Romney said that.
Really?
To the Olympics.
He said a lot of things.
You didn't get here solely on your own.
Huh.
I would have guessed it was a 160-pound scrotum that said that.
No. Well, that was close. Closer than his guess. yeah, so this is what they've been selectively pushing this quote over and over again, and everybody knows Obama was talking about roads and bridges and infrastructure and things that help you with your business. Anyway, so he keeps saying over and over that Obama said, if you built a business, you didn't build that. Mitt Romney, he made, this is almost the identical point. This is written during the opening ceremonies of the Winter Olympics 2002. Romney agreed with Obama, by the way, as recently as last week, saying, I know that you recognize a lot of people help you in business, perhaps the bank, the investors, there's no question your mom and dad, your school teachers, the people who provide roads, the fire, the police, a lot of people help. And so then, of course, some conservative blogger jumped on what the president said. Romney chose to, you know.
Yeah. I mean, when he was basing it on what
when he said the exact same thing last week.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, 160 pounds. Okay. Ken.
He's 6 feet in circumference.
Ken in New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Stephanie, guys.
Hi.
The official job creator via Craft Brewing up here in the Adirondacks, caller.
Mm, wow. Beer.
We'll be sending you some.
Okay.
Beer. One point about that last comment on Romney's, and then I got a thought on Russell Pierce. the guy that Romney picked to showcase in his ad.
Yes.
Received over $1 million in Regional Development Authority and government grants.
Oh, heavens.
Huh.
Oh, heavens.
Isn't
yeah. Something?
How about that? But Russell Pierce, the Russell Pierce is from Kansas.
Originally, yes.
Well, now we know what the matter is with Kansas.
Yeah, exactly. And Dodge City is in Kansas. Mm-hmm. And Wyatt Earp cleaned up Dodge City by taking away all the frigging guns.
That's right.
Yes, I know.
How about that?
Yeah, there's a Wyatt Earp fun fact.
If Wyatt Earp was in Aurora, there wouldn't have been a shooting because he would have gotten the guns on the way into town.
Yep, exactly. All right, well said. Kathy in Colorado, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kath.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Love your show.
Thank you.
I just read on the byline here in Denver that since the murders in the movie theater, gun sales have risen sharply in Colorado.
You know what? That usually, unfortunately, that usually happens after something like this.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to take, but I love the show.
Thank you.
Wanted to pass that along.
Oh, by the way, the original Gohmert, that made the original Gohmert comment?
Yes.
He, you'll never guess what he said about the his Colorado shooting remark.
What?
It was taken
out of context.
He apologized for offending anybody.
Oh, if you were offended by my comment,
if you oversensitive idiots were offended by my moronic comments, he suggested that the shootings were the result of ongoing attacks on the Judeo-Christian beliefs.
Ah, yes, of course. Huh?
Yeah.
What?
He stressed his remarks were grossly, not just taken out of context,
grossly out of context.
Yes. Yes.
So what is the context then?
Please elaborate. And he also wondered why no one else in the theater had a gun to help to take down the shooter. So he was also kind of in the traveling on Piercean territory. It was your fault for not being armed.
It's so easy to do sharpshooting in a pitch black theater.
Yes, Michael Bloomberg called the congressman nonsensical. Which is...
In its understated, Michael Bloombergian way.
In his Bloombergian style. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
Chris. Jim.
Hi.
Jackie.
Uh-huh.
And also, I'd like to give a shout-out to the deputy campaign manager for the Barack Obama, Stephanie Cutter.
Ah, yeah. Future wife, Stephanie Cutter. Yeah. I know. I just keep picturing the two S's on the towels. All right, go ahead.
Hey, Mama, I got something serious and something stupid. The serious thing is, remember after 9/11, we changed our Constitution, basically got rid of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We changed the way we flew. We changed the way, our entire government around.
We changed our right to privacy.
Yeah.
We did all this. Now we get one more thing of gun violence, and people go, nope, can't change a thing.
Yeah.
We just can't do anything. I'm sick of this crap.
Yep.
We have more people die every year because of gun violence than died in 9/11 in this country.
Yeah.
Yep. And
but you know,
no, you know, somebody mentioned everything. That somebody mentioned that, buddy, yesterday. That it's just, and you know, you saw it in the Michael Moore movie. But you know, pick any country, Canada. I mean, they look at us like, is there not at least time for a discussion where we go, what do we have more mental illness? Is it the combination of mental illness, guns? But I mean, this is becoming a monthly occurrence, isn't it?
We trashed the you know, the Bill of Rights after 9/11, and now we can't touch the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I'm willing to bet you that guy was schizophrenic, because a long time ago, I had a girlfriend, and her brother was in college, a med student, brilliant, and he had that, and it happens to a lot of bright people, that, mm-hmm. you know, just something happens, and it goes but.
Yeah, a fine line between brilliance and insanity sometimes. You know, buddy, I mean, that's what Jason Alexander was talking about, that, of course, made everybody go ape dump, is, you know, he said he lashed out at a gun activist who claimed that gun regulation violates their Second Amendment rights. He argued the Second Amendment lays out the right to bear arms for those in regulated militias alone, mm-hmm. not for private citizens. Writing, the advocates of guns who claim patriotism and the rights of the Second Amendment, are they in well-regulated militias? For the vast majority, the answer is no.
Yeah, well, we already have the well-regulated militia. It's called the National Guard.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, Dianne Feinstein just made this point. She's like, "What is there a reason that, you know, normal citizens should be armed like the military?" I mean, it's you know...
George Washington didn't want a standing army. That's why he was talking about well-regulated militias. But right. we're well beyond that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, Mama,
yes.
one thing in the stupid category,
yes.
I wrote a poem for Jackie Schechner.
Mm. Okay, all right.
It's called Getting Clean with Jackie.
Oh, God. Would you like to do that for us now?
Mm. Yes,
an
yes.
Okay, could we have some love music, please?
Oh, love music, okay. Mm-hmm.
There we go.
All right.
Jackie, I hope you're listening. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. It would be fun to take a shower with Jackie Schechner, because that way you could get up close and really inspect her. But no matter what, she's so hot, you'd have to, and smart, you'd have to respect her, even though I might talk a little eek.
Wow. Wrong in every way. Thanks for calling.
Wow.
All right. And once again, the Stephanie Miller Show apologizes to Jackie Schechner. Why are you playing the good, the bad, and the ugly? Well, I'm not getting a shootout with her.
I hit the wrong button. You do that all the time.
No, I do not.
Yes, you do.
Okay. All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It's going to cost you.
Yes. Pardon me, I was just completing my list of apologies to Jackie Schechner for the top of the hour.
Yeah, you cut across the park to get to Funky Town?
Yes. Yes. It'll take longer, but yes.
She tweeted that she needs a shower.
Take Pico. Oh, don't do that. Now Tommy's. Now that's in his thought bubble. All right, 52.
Yeah, spank, spank. No.
I stop didn't it.
Say that. Oh,
stop
my
it.
God.
Oh, my God. Excuse me.
Yeah, penalty.
I have to write something. I have to add something. Jackie Schechner apology list. Okay. One in step one. Let's just pretend this hour didn't happen.
Please.
Like 160-pound ball sack. Hour was like 160-pound scrotum. It was just useless and just, you know.
In the way.
In the way.
In the way.
Yeah. Of real journalism.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I am not sending this to Museum of Broadcasting.
No.
It's a built-in hippity-hop.
1-800.
That's what that toy was, by the way. We've been getting cards mm-hmm. and letters. The toy is
a hippity hop. Uh-huh. Yeah, yes. That you used to play on with
it's
in
a,
the
it's
70s.
It's a big ball with
oh
a handle on top.
Oh, my God, we're in 70s toys now.
I know.
In the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
Call now. What was your favorite dangerous 70s toy?
Is it raining where you are?
They did have really dangerous toys in the 70s.
So we
have that. Maybe that caused his 160-pound scrotum later in life. Maybe he was on a hippity hop too much. Yeah. I put a jart in my own head, but that's just because I was spazzy.
Well, wow. Jarts and hippity hops don't get along.
No.
Because, you know.
Yeah. Slip and slide. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Who is it? Dane Cook calls it slip and bleed from the anus.
Yeah.
That was a dangerous toy.
Yeah.
And then what was the thing that we always say that you made the creepy crawlers on that, like, you could
creepy
heat
crawlers.
It to 2,000 degrees?
Shrinky dinks. And, well, there's shrinky dinks,
right.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the guy shrinky with third degree burn.
The guy with the scrotum is a shrinky dink. Thanks to the.
I can't believe we're in 70s toys that killed you.
Somebody tweeted that maybe he didn't have the balls to have the surgery. Maybe that's what it was.
That's, I'm sure that's what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you want rocks under your slip and slide.
Yeah, I found that's always good. That's always
going
good.
Down face first.
Clark in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Clark.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
Good.
Good, good. I watch you guys pretty avidly in the morning, and this morning I was rather annoyed at some of the comments you guys made about the Aurora shooting. I'm sorry, but you guys stated that maybe, you know, nobody should have done anything, and the guy had four guns and this and that, but he had
one. I didn't
one.
Say nobody should have. We were saying that Russell Pierce, I think, don't you think it's outrageous to essentially imply that the audience was cowardly, that they should have done something?
Not so much cowardly.
That's what he said.
I think that there are heroes in this world, and it's people that have honor in their lives. And
were heroes in there.
Were there? Yeah, the people.
People who threw themselves over their girlfriends to shield them from the bullets. Okay, that's heroic.
If it took one individual to redirect that fire, it might have saved 30 rounds.
He had.
Yeah, but who are you or Russell Pierce to judge what you would have done in a darkened theater with a heavily armed guy
heavily armed with body armor.
And throwing tear gas at you.
He didn't have body armor. He had
Yes, he did.
Vest.
No, he had
a tactical vest. It was which held
vest
extra clip.
And throat protection and groin protection.
So you're also like Russell Pierce, blaming the people for not being
and
armed
a helmet.
In the theater.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm just saying that there's certain things that people should do, and I'm not saying that I would have
carry AK-47s to the theater.
No,
to protect yourself.
I don't even know how I got in with a gun that large. I mean, that's amazing to me. But
well, he came into the back door.
He came in through the back door.
And that's pretty much what you're saying these people should have done to protect themselves.
I'm saying that if
a handgun's not going to protect you.
And tried to tackle him or something, then, I mean, I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Yes, well, you likely would have gotten shot had you.
That's okay.
Yes.
That's okay. As long as he redirects it towards me and, you know,
so you are braver than any of the other guys that were in the theater, is what you're saying. You would have done something.
I'm just saying, life is not as important as the individuals that have the life, you know what I mean? I mean, I've seen a lady at a protest run over three people so that she can get to work. Well, that choice made it so she was arrested, okay? Just things like that. People don't, they panic. And I was just really, really
So people are wrong to panic when there's a heavily armed man firing at them in a darkened theater.
No, I mean, if you're firing off that many rounds with that gun, I'm sure the theater was pretty light. But I think it's a terrible thing that, you know, he was in there and he did acquire all
lights.
Those weapons. I mean, I'm totally an advocate for
Clark, I'm missing
weapons.
Your point then.
I'm just saying that, you know, people should have done something. I mean, one or two people. I mean, if he's in there for a minute and he's firing round after round after round.
Yes. Well, that's because he has an automatic weapon. You see, that's what they do.
And
they fire
armor.
60 rounds a minute.
But
and tear gas.
There's somebody should have or could
should have
done something.
Right, but who are you to judge that? What are you saying you should
I'm
have?
I'm a person just like any other citizen.
But you're saying you would have. You're saying if you were in there, you would have.
You're saying you're better than anybody else in that theater who didn't do anything.
Oh, I'm not better than
that's
anybody.
That's what it kind of sounds like you're saying.
To save some people, you know? I mean, I would do whatever I could to stop an individual like that. I mean,
okay. Well, there was chaos in the theater. People were doing what they could to save and help the people that were with them. So, all right.
Okay.
You know what?
Wow. He watches too many
Can
movies.
I just say, conversationally, that was 160-pound scrotum sack. That you know what?
Yeah, I would.
What
I,
you
I,
just said
yes.
is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
At no point
no.
were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
I would have used my superpowers to make him disappear. And
my
then
spidey
I would have
sense would have told me in advance if
I,
he
I would
was
have climbed on the ceiling and shot that, webs at him.
Yeah.
And
that,
then also
that
at Comic-Con.
That was
Stephanie Miller Show apologizes for those seconds of your life that you will never.
That was an audio equivalent of 160-pound nutsack.
Yeah, and I believe he giggled in the middle there about it.
He did.
Yeah.
And it's being kind of light because that he killed people. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce, our buddy, our pal, coming up. Some great stuff on the Colorado tragedy and much more as usual. Willie Nelson and his lovely wife, Annie, coming up. We are auctioning off their tickets to Sexy Liberal. Their son is... You know, can I just say something about Sexy Liberal celebrities? Roland, the high-strung Sexy Liberal tour director, was mentioning how unusual this is about how generous Sexy Liberals are.
Yeah.
All these big celebrities in every city, they never ask for free tickets. They just buy them.
Yeah. That's really
Willie Nelson,
awesome.
They just bought tickets. We've had people, celebrities on panel, that have bought tickets to see themselves.
Twice.
Twice. Uh-huh. And I don't know if they got their money's worth, but I thought they were spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so there's lots of people coming to L.A., Chris. Because you remember in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
I almost exploded because I wanted to say, Aretha Franklin's coming! But we didn't want to scare her up, so we didn't.
No, we didn't.
So we couldn't say it till after the show. I'm just saying we can't say specifically who, but there's lots of celebrities coming, both on panel and in the show.
Yeah, Roland sent an email yesterday about a really cool...
And then we're like, oh my God!
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's going to be a big, big show. It is almost sold out. But by the way, we keep saying the acoustics and sight lines are great in the Fantasia. So get those last few tickets. Get it.
This is a special call out to all you L.A. progressives out there. A short distance dedication. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming back to Hollywood, California.
Holy Hollywood.
L.A. Show me love up in the club.
On Saturday, July 28th, the world-famous Pantages Theater will host our generation's greatest comedy trio with John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and featuring radio and television star Stephanie Miller. Tickets are currently available online at Ticketmaster.com, at the Pantages Theater box office, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. A portion of the evening's proceeds will be donated to the Trevor Project. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, July 28th at the Pantages Theater. The countdown to the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour's Los Angeles return starts now.
TikTok, yep. TikTok.
And there's all kinds of really cool bars and restaurants in that neighborhood.
Yes,
so you can,
we'll be partaying
yes.
before and after in the neighborhood.
Yes, we will.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It's right.
Don't be afraid to get single tickets, too, because there's a good chance you'll get some Sexy Liberal strange.
Yeah, just go right next door to the Frolic Room.
Frolic Room.
Yes, the Frolic Room is attached to the Pantages.
Is that a Fred Willard favorite?
No. Nah. It is not. It's in Hollywood and Vine.
Oh.
It's like an old historic bar.
Okay.
That was you saw it in L.A. Confidential, I believe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right then.
Yeah.
All right. So we were saying, speaking of our celebrity friends, we got to get him on. Jason Alexander has weighed in on the conversation around gun control. It's amazing how just people go insane when you say anything about, hey, how about reasonable gun control. Black guys taking our guns!
And yet there's not a peep when we destroyed the Bill of Rights over 9/11.
Yeah, yeah. He had released a long tweet using TwitLonger.
Yep. You can do that.
Yes, apparently. Obviously a lot of people backed his argument, and then some just called him dumber than George Costanza. See, because that's
so current.
I guess, and his original tweet, he just said, I can't understand support for legality of this kind of weapon in this massacre. It's a military weapon. Why should it be in non-military hands? Which I think that's the same argument that Senator Feinstein just made.
The only function that gun has is to kill people
in the most
efficient way possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason Alexander warned of what he calls absolutists, a term which he used to describe ideologues from both sides, but mostly from the far right, who swear allegiance to unelected officials. Grover. Wayne LaPierre, that are to obstruct every possible act of governance, even the ones they support or initiate, whose political and social goal is to marginalize the other side, vilify and isolate them with the hope that they will surrender, go away, or die out. He goes on to equate these absolutists with terrorists as they believe, quote, they hold the only truth. Everyone else is dangerous. Ever meet a terrorist who doesn't believe that? Just asking.
Yeah.
He finishes by saying there's no excuse for the lack of regulation surrounding assault rifles, and that while stricter laws will not prevent any tragedy, well, we certainly have done ourselves no good by allowing these particular weapons to be acquired freely by just about anybody.
Don't call me a terrorist. I'll kill you.
Oh, wait. Oh. I'm a terrorist. Oh, wow. I guess people like that don't have epiphanies, though. That
yeah.
No.
Wow. How about that guy in court yesterday? Wow. That, yeah, everybody, we were asking, we were watching it, is he on something or off something?
What, yeah.
He was dazed, yeah. His head was bobbing, his eyes were opening, closing, yeah.
Nobody in the court system could say whether he was medicated or not, because I guess there's a privacy issue or something like that, but by looking at him, you could kind of tell that he was out of it,
something
at least.
Going on there.
Yeah. His family said their attorney said yes, they do stand by him. He's their son. Did you see that was a little weird that the mom tried to correct the statement that ABC News said that when she said you've got the right guy, she said, or you've got the right person.
Yeah.
Then she went back and said she was only referring to herself.
Yeah.
But it was an hour after they asked if there was an audio recording of the call, and when they were told no, she corrected her statement. Yeah. So it's ABC, I think, is standing by the statement of what. Right. She said, so, you know, I guess, you know, obviously more will come out on that. The president yesterday talking about the tragedy.
I hope that over the next several days, next several weeks, and next several months, we all reflect on how we can do something about some of the senseless violence that ends up marring this country.
So Senator Lautenberg of Jersey is reintroducing the assault weapons ban. Of course, everyone's before it's even been debated, like, oh, there's no hope for this. Senator Feinstein yesterday.
It's the big clips. It's 100 rounds. You cannot get to him to dislodge the gun because he can fire so rapidly and has so many bullets.
Thank you, Representative Gohmert and Russell Pierce and that guy that just
hour. I used my spidey senses and the kung fu action grip, and I don't know what I'm talking about.
Seriously, how many other armchair geeks are there, like the guy that just called, or Russell Pierce going, I would have, you know, these, whether it's false, you know, machismo, or just these geeks, like, yeah, I would have stopped the rotation of the earth. And it's like, she said it best, that's part of the problem. That's why you can't disarm them. This is a military weapon.
Yep.
Senator Frank Lautenberg will advance legislation this week to ban the sale of magazines that can hold more than 10 rounds of ammunition. The bill was introduced, by the way, right after Gabby Giffords' shooting. It gained little support then, isn't likely to go much further this time. Like the Arizona shooter, same thing. James Holmes used a high-capacity clip, the sale of which was outlawed between 1994 and 2004 with the assault weapons ban. I mean, I don't think it's our imagination is that there are more of these kind of tragedies with higher body counts since this has expired. You can't say there's no correlation at all. Senator Dianne Feinstein argued weapons of war don't belong on the streets, is basically what she said. This is Dianne Feinstein.
We've got to sit down and really come to grips with what is sold to the average citizen in America. I have no problem with people being licensed, buying a firearm, but these are weapons that you're only going to use them to kill people in close combat.
Yeah, she said this is a powerful weapon. It has a 100-round drum. This is a man who planned, who went in. His purpose was to kill as many people as he could in a sold-out theater. We've got to, you know, and then she said what she just said. We've got to sit down and at least have a conversation about this. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, I mean, it's just everybody gets so, like, completely, he said it would infringe on Americans. What, Jim? Constitutional rights. There we are again.
Constitutional right to have a 100-round clip. Kill a lot of people at once.
Yeah, he said you simply can't keep these weapons out of the hands of sick, demented individuals who want to do harm. And when you try to do it, you restrict our freedom.
Oh, my God.
So what, we shouldn't even
try?
Not even
try. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you couldn't stop Hitler from invading Poland. So.
You waited till hour two this morning.
There you go.
Okay,
there was not one Hitler reference in the first hour.
Yeah, Hitler had 160-pound scrotum.
Yes, and see, the right wing will make the... They will make the argument that had the Jews been armed with handguns...
Yeah.
Right.
God. Sure.
Yes, that there were not enough guns. Exactly.
Try using that against a tank.
Steve in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say in my previous employment, I worked around Missouri State Highway Patrol, and they do extensive training in darkroom scenarios with lights flashing and their light bars going on in the back, just so they can go into a situation like that and take control. Where a person like me, if I got my conceal and carry, I have no experience in that. Right. And I have no gun control at that point. I'm just pointing and clicking. And if you've ever been in a room where gunfire is going off, the muzzle blast impacts your body and your head in such a different way, because it's all concealed, and the acoustics, it just rings and rings. And I guess my point is, the average person can't control their weapon in that scenario.
Right.
Right. Well, you know, Steve, this is why, you know, you make a good practical point, that you just think that the guy that just called last hour, or the Russell Pierces of the world, did they not understand that in a way they're defeating their own point? That it's because they have these high-capacity things that would, you know, it diminishes logically anybody's ability to disarm a guy like that. You know, are you kidding? You're going to charge a guy that's firing 60 rounds a minute? I mean, that's exactly, I mean, they're defeating their own argument, aren't they?
Well, yeah, and the other thing, this guy has a mental illness. He's not going to have a problem pulling a trigger.
Right.
Me, I may have a problem pulling a trigger and taking a human's life, no matter whether he's, you know, no matter what the situation
is. And by the way,
situation.
Steve, if you're a responsible, you know, gun owner and shooter, you also know that in a darkened theater, you're going to be, you're a sane person. You're going to be afraid you're going to hit someone that you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Absolutely, right.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously people are running, there's screaming, there's confusion, there's smoke.
There's
I mean,
tear gas.
Yes, exactly. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce coming up, much more as we roll along on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Highbrow, lowbrow, unibrow. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. It's basically what Tommy was saying to Jackie Sheffield.
Yes.
Yeah. Not in so many words.
It's not as classy. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Andy in Wisconsin. Hey, Andy. Welcome.
Hey, first of all, when that guy called in and said the solution was to stand up and eat bullets,
yes.
When Voice Monkey Jim started in, I thought you guys still had him on the line. It was very dead on.
Yeah. But
this whole theory of more people packing heat, I'm just wondering, if I jump up and pull out a gun, how do all the other people packing heat know whether I'm a mass murderer or their savior?
Yeah.
You know, you're just going to have a huge crossfire.
Well, and same thing, Andy, as somebody made that point, I think Chief Bratton, when the police arrive, how do they know
which
who's...
Which one do you shoot?
Yeah. I mean, and there's carnage,
there's
right?
There's always the white cowboy hat, black cowboy hat thing. But,
other than that,
how do you know?
Oh, sure. But if you've cleverly chosen another cowboy hat just to throw the authorities off.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Chief Bratton, you know, he knows a thing or two about situations like this.
Yeah.
I trust him more than I trust that moron who called in.
Yeah, and Carolyn McCarthy made the same point about, you know, they said that when her husband was killed on the Long Island Railroad. She said if you talk to police, they will tell you to a person just about it would have been worse if more people had been armed on that train. Let's go to Philip in San Diego. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Phil.
Good morning. Looks like I'm going to be going up to L.A. on the 28th. Sounds like it's going to be a good show.
Hey!
See you there. Liberal. See you there. Okay, go ahead.
And I love the fact that some of it's going to be donated to the Trevor Project.
Yes.
But anyhow, the guy of the last hour, you know, I'm really sick of these people being brave. You know, tear gas. Tear gas goes off. The first reaction is to go down on the floor and crawl.
Right.
And stuff. And, you know, all the speculation about the shooter, you know, he's this, he's that. There's only one thing that's certain to me about the shooter in the Colorado thing. He definitely was not gay, because any gay, self-respecting person would not dye their hair
that color.
Good point, Phil. But, you know, the other point I think is, you know, that it goes to Senator Feinstein's point. This guy essentially conducted a military operation with military equipment. I mean, the tear gas and all that was meant to obviously confuse and make people unable to see.
And you can't see, obviously.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of tear gas.
Obviously, and, you know, they're right. You know, what do you need an assault rifle for? But what blows my mind, after all these tragedies that we've had a number of them over the years, Columbine, Virginia Tech, the situation in Arizona with the shooting of Gabrielle Giffords and stuff, I don't understand why there's not a database out there that tracks people that buy this amount of ammunition and stuff. I mean, they track, the FBI tracks, you know, like, say, for instance, people who frequent pedophile-type websites, and they keep an eye on them to see, you know, if they're a danger to any children or anything like that. So why don't we have any tracking system in place to say, okay, this is a red flag. This guy's buying 6,000 rounds of ammunition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perhaps we should look at it and nip it in the bud. That's how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Plus an assault weapon ban, because I don't remember what the report was I saw this week.
Well,
but
you know,
there was a report that said 60% killings with assault weapons when the ban was ineffective. In effect, it went down like 60%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you raise a good point, because I think, as we said, I mean, there isn't some system in place where you can buy 6,000 rounds of ammunition in that short a period of time.
And not draw attention to yourself?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That doesn't, I mean.
I was seeing a report on TV yesterday where the reporter was going online and buying massive amounts of ammunition, not a single check.
Wow.
Yeah. Sean in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sean.
Yes, hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I guess I just had a quick point to make before I got to my main point. I was just wondering, is anybody aware of what his employment status was?
I don't know. He just dropped. He was in school.
Right.
He just dropped out of school.
Oh, yeah. See, that's what I heard. I actually heard that he was unemployed, collecting unemployment. So the first thing that
I haven't heard
about
that anywhere else.
Yeah.
He had literally just dropped out of school. So I don't. Yeah.
So if he had just dropped out of school, he obviously wasn't employed anywhere. So I guess it's interesting to kind of wonder where somebody who is collecting an unemployment check comes up with.
Yeah,
I mean, it obviously costs.
Yeah,
like
that's the problem here is unemployment insurance, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I guess
is your point that no one should get unemployment because they may use it to buy 6,000 rounds of ammunition?
No, absolutely not. And I don't.
Well, then why did you bring it up?
Well, just that.
What does that have to do with it?
Well, the point is that someone else may have been footing the bill for all this ammunition if he couldn't afford it.
And that's kind of what I'm trying to get people to think about is, you know, where is this money coming from?
Yeah, but you're assuming that he's on unemployment insurance. We don't know that.
I am not.
Okay. All right, get to your next point. Go ahead.
My next point is, as far as the whole gun control topic goes, you know, as soon as you go and put regulations on anything, I could come up with a few examples, you know, the prohibition of alcohol back in the 30s, the prohibition of marijuana, the prohibition of, you know, all types of pharmaceutical drugs. You know, as soon as you put a restriction on these
things. In moderation, those things are not designed to kill you. Guns are designed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I finish, please?
Yeah, sure. As soon as you
make the you know the point to regulate any of these things, you can't just make them go away. You know, they don't just.
Nobody's saying that guns should go away.
So if you put a restriction on assault weapons, then the assault weapons wouldn't go away. You would have to be a criminal in order to carry them.
We shouldn't even try to make it harder to get 100 round magazines.
I think that if there was 80 people in that movie theater who had weapons, the first person sitting right next to him would have taken him down.
Uh-huh.
I think that that's a lack of civil responsibility to bear arms here.
Right.
I see. So you agree with Russell Pierce that if the people were not armed or brave enough.
That they were
big pussies, is what you're saying.
Pierce is or what, no, that's not at all what I'm saying.
Kind
of. I'm saying that everybody has a civil responsibility to bear arms. They have a civil responsibility to flex their First Amendment freedom.
Right.
Everybody does.
So that's the only regulation you believe in, is everyone should be forced to carry a gun? Or what?
You really want to live in a country where everyone's carrying an AK-47 on the street?
I think it'd be a lot different than the world that we live in today.
That country would absolutely suck, Sean.
Spectacular.
That'd be Afghanistan.
Yes. I don't want to live in Afghanistan, Sean.
Oh, it reminds me of the Chris Rock bit, but we should have bullet control. Bullets should be $5,000 a piece.
Yes.
You're going to really, really want to kill somebody.
Wow.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on
with Charlie Pierce.
Yes, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Honey, I have been called way worse. Skank, tramp, white devil. I liked that one so much, I put it on my license plate.
Wow, can I just say, I'm working my way through the meanest hate letter we've ever gotten.
Oh, cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't...
On scrotums?
I don't really think I can read much of that on the air.
Wow.
Trying to edit out.
What? Oh, is it on...
Actually, I guess Kurt must have passed it on to me. Pass this on to the nag and her two empty testicles. That's referring to you two, I guess.
I thought we were...
Or I guess mine.
We were your 160-pound testicles.
Oh. So 80 pounds each.
Yeah.
Those are quite a few suggestions in that letter. Okay.
Wow.
He's a helper. All right, let's...
I bet he thinks everyone should be armed.
Think so. Mm-hmm. All right. I guess this brings out people's emotions, this whole gun debate.
Oh, dear.
Who knew?
Okay.
All right. Let's talk to our Tuesday. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
How's your 160-pound scrotum doing?
Yeah.
Excuse me? How's yours?
I'm sorry, are we talking to you, Baltic the butt?
Yeah.
An interesting way to get into the interview.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Did you hear our first hour when we were talking about the guy with 160-pound scrotum?
Really?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
6 feet in circumference.
Yes.
Now that's
Yikes.
A grand ball.
Yes, it is. And that thread has permeated the entire show.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that one's going to stick.
Yeah.
It just is our favorite headline lately. It could be worse. You could have a 160-pound scrotum.
Yeah.
It could be worse, and it could be raining.
Yeah.
All right.
How do you get out of a car?
It's the little things that
so
you don't
many
think
questions.
About. Yeah.
That's right. The little things you don't think about until you're scrotum
how
stick
do you,
wearing
it. How do you find the stick shift? You know what I'm saying? More ways than one.
Hey,
yes.
Mama, before we start,
yes,
I said this on Facebook, but I want to say it on the radio, too. Chris LaVoy sat in on a really bad news day last week and did a great job.
I know he did.
Oh,
and
thank
Jim
you,
and Jackie Schechner. Everybody did.
And John Fugelsang, too.
And John Fugelsang.
Yes.
That's right.
So.
And not only that, but Chris LaVoy pulled the Hooters out for the bumper music, if I'm not incorrect.
Really?
Did I?
Not pulling the Hooters out, per se, but the band.
Right.
Oh, yes, the Hooters. Yeah, yes. They just played the Hooters.
As I said, I enjoyed the show much more without me in it. It was delightful. I got to watch from home while I was monitoring Max. All right.
How is Max? Is Max okay?
Max is much better, thank you. I got his blood retested yesterday, and he's, knock on wood, he's...
Good.
But my listeners I love, they keep sending terrifying letters about, my dog wants this, and it might be that, and you're probably killing him. I'm like, what? Yeah, so I keep sending my vet like one letter after another.
Oh God,
what about
I'm sure
this?
They love that.
What about this?
Well, I happen to be a universal donor, so if Max needs more blood, let me know.
Awesome, thank you. All right,
I said Max and I sitting on adjoining tables with like our paws out with the stapler.
Playing poker. Yeah. All right.
The longer we can avoid talking about politics this week, the better.
Yeah,
you
know what,
away.
Mister?
Yeah.
Stop. You're trying to. It's like I'm like a girl trying to have the talk with you, and you're just putting it off. Hey, honey, look over there. We don't need to talk.
I'm a lot better at it than I used to be.
All right. I love your series, Things in Political That Make You Want to Guzzle Antifreeze.
Yeah.
Including, oh, they found a Michelle Bachmann supporter, Dwayne Hallstad,
yeah,
who was sitting on the porch.
Dwayne's a heck of a guy.
Yes. He said Bachmann's the only one telling the truth about this thing.
Wow.
You know, the Muslim Brotherhood, blah, blah.
Yeah,
he also said...
What really makes me want to guzzle antifreeze is they found a Democrat to run against who's proud that he disagrees with the president on a number of issues.
Oh, God.
You
Thanks,
say,
Chip Todd.
This guy they interview believes President Obama vacations on Martha's Vineyard because to observe Ramadan?
Yes.
So that guy. They found that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, the annual, you know, Hajj where people get on the ferry and walk around the deck like 30 times. It's eluded me so far, but apparently many Muslims come to Martha's Vineyard every summer.
Apparently. Who knew?
For religious reasons.
So, you quote Ron Kerry, former chairman of the Minnesota Republican Party and Bachmann's chief of staff, said he was present during a private briefing in her office, and he said Bachmann is simply privy to information that you and I don't have. It was sobering, some of the information this individual was sharing in a private meeting about the Muslim Brotherhood, and you say you don't know who this quote-unquote individual is, but I suspect he's wearing Frank Gaffney's underwear.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, do you honestly think there are serious people in the national security apparatus who speak only to Michelle Bachmann?
Yeah, I mean, this is really incredible. I mean, enough Republicans have gone on record against her, including, what's his name, Ed Rollins, right?
That's right.
To say...
That's her former campaign manager.
Now we all agree on something, that she's that...
Yeah, but you know what? And I wrote this last week. I borrowed the line from Chris Rock. What do you want, a cookie?
I mean, exactly.
She's been nuts for 8 years. Where you guys been?
Yeah.
Plus the fact that four male congressmen signed that letter, including Louis Gohmert, the world's dumbest human.
Yeah.
I mean, why aren't we landing on him? Why isn't John McCain getting up and explaining that, you know, Louis Gohmert should be sitting on a fence someplace spitting at cows?
Yeah.
He might be, actually. No.
You know, I particularly enjoyed your, as I've said to you before, you do a better roundup of the Sunday shows than anybody. But the press was making me insane this weekend. But go ahead.
It was hard this week because the Sunday shows were all about Aurora, and there's really nothing funny about it except watching them try to tap dance around, watching them tap dance around trying to discuss gun violence without discussing guns.
Yeah. Right. Well, by the way, Jim caught this one too. Stuck in yours is your man Chuck Todd.
The Swift boating.
Yeah, yeah, saying they're Swift boating Romney, leaving out, as you say, completely misapplying the term Swift boating as though it now simply means a tough but successful campaign tactic and not an organized and highly paid slander.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons why I think Chuck Todd should be happy that John Kerry is a very nice, judicious fellow and didn't save any weaponry from Vietnam.
Yeah.
Because that's just absurd. I mean that is making sure that you're going to get your phone calls returned if the Romney administration comes to pass.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that is absolute beet sweetening because he's got to know that's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, as Jim said yesterday, I mean, there's a difference between a bunch of lies and you can agree or disagree on what the way Bain did business, but it's not lies. Yeah. That's what the guy did for a living.
You're absolutely right, and it's remotely not the same thing, And another one, which I didn't comment on this week, but there was a piece by Tom Edsel in the New York Times, I believe, where he compared the voter suppression efforts in the country to the Obama campaign's commercials on Bain Capital, saying they were both like voter. They're both examples of voter suppression.
What?
I mean, that's not even close.
So,
I mean, if you've got a stretch, you're going to pull a hamstring stretching for equivalent that badly.
Yeah.
And Charlie, I got to say, we've been obviously having a discussion all day about gun control. And, I just thought you made such great points in here about how did this happen that the debate apparently has been shut down? Because you were talking about somebody saying, you can't stop these people. He would have gotten something even if he didn't get a gun. And as you say, yes, and if Satan showed up at a gun show in Colorado and he were dressed in all red and carried a pitchfork and had a pointy tail, he could buy whatever deadly weapon he wanted to without any questions asked. I mean, that's the crux of it.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I was optimistic that anything would change, but I don't think it is. I think we're already halfway down the track that we go down every time one of these things happens, where there's a little spasm of outrage, and poor Carolyn McCarthy gets to be on TV like 26 hours a day, and then after a week, we have the funerals and bury the dead, and we don't even think about it anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, as you say, there she is kind of trying to inject a little sanity about guns into this discussion, and but like you say, I was saying my favorite moment is when, and I think you point this out too, that David Gregory says, it's really a bipartisan thing, this rhetoric. And the look on her face is just like,
And you've been hosting the show for how long? And you've been in Washington for how long? No. Why people don't realize what a great story, why people in my business don't realize what a great story this is always beyond me. You've got one political party that's out of its mind.
Yeah,
that's a great story.
Well, right, what you say, I love what you write here. You say the important thing always is defining what a conservative view of life is in these tragic times in this ever-changing world in which we live in. Tough break, America. The world's a broken place, so we have to expect from time to time a lunatic will arm and equip himself like an Abrams fighting vehicle and shoot up a theater, suck it up and cut capital gains taxes some more. I mean, that's what that party at least has become, hasn't it?
Well, I think that's what the entire conservative movement has become. I mean, it's become this kind of closed system with its own media and its own history and its own facts and its own science, and now if you read the Great Lawyer's Guns and Money blog today, its own beauty pageant, because apparently beauty pageants have a liberal bias. I mean, it's a terrarium now. It's not a political entity anymore. It's Roddy McDowell in that Twilight Zone where he opens his front curtains and realizes he's in a zoo.
Right.
Yeah. Well, as you say, quote unquote, they always say, this is a bitterly fought issue. You say it's going to be bitterly fought because gun carnage has an extraordinarily effective lobbying organization that has managed to buy half the government and scare the out of the other half. And that's exactly where we are, right?
Yeah, and I don't. And again, I'm not exactly sure what the solution is. If you go to the NRA website, you will read stuff that is not attached to reality.
Yeah.
The idea that this organization is that influential in our government, and while it's dealing in seriously dangerous fantasies.
Yeah,
is frightening, and I don't know what the solution. If this isn't, I mean, if one of these things every couple of years isn't the solution, I don't know what is.
Well, I mean, and Charlie, as
I
usual,
I mean, we're locking up, you know, Muslim misfits who say the wrong thing to undercover FBI agents, mm-hmm. who have less chance of doing any damage than I do.
Yeah.
And yet, this guy can go on the internet and order 6,000 rounds of ammunition, and nobody, and the people who are supposed to put up the red flags are deliberately hamstrung.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And Charlie, I gotta say, we've said this, at the beginning of the week, that if we just all go into our positions and everybody goes to their normal positions on this, we're never gonna make any progress. And you, as usual, have, I think, one of the most thoughtful things that someone said this week. You said, we also have a situation where you have a lot of 20-year-olds who are not living, in this under-institutionalized world, in this under-institutionalized world, lonely, not a lot of people dealing with them. Yep. At the same time, a tremendous hunger for fame, as you see the rise of these spectacle killings, and I'd like to see a debate about that.
I didn't say that. David Brooks
said that. Oh, I'm sorry. You were quoting, but you also said that some of the people, like Mr. Bratton, said there's a civil society solution where we look out for all the people who are just drifting between the cracks.
I don't think I said that either.
Right. Well, my point is, but I love that you point out that that's part of the conversation, too, is mental illness.
It's all the conversation, but this has been also the refuge of people who don't want to talk about guns. There are many things to this problem. Let's do something about mental health in this country. Good. Let's raise taxes and do something about mental health. Oh, no, can't do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, we'll deinstitutionalize things again because that worked out so well. It's not like our entire political process isn't hamstrung on making progress on any parts of this problem.
Right.
Yeah.
But it just galls me that we
guns is the one we don't talk about.
Right.
Right.
It just galls me that we gutted the Bill of Rights basically after 9/11. But every time this stuff happens, we can't even discuss the Second Amendment.
Yeah, and the carnage, Jim, is how many times worse now with all of these combined? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you're absolutely right.
Well, no, we talk all the time about, we have this ongoing national debate, and it's a pretty good one, about what limitations we want to put on the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Can you arrest the guy for going to a jihadi website? You know, and it gets red flagged by whatever the NSA is doing to all of our email these days. So we argue about that. We don't argue about the fact that there are apparently no limitations on the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't know about, old Sean, who called the show before I came on, but I don't want to live in Somalia.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Exactly. Charlie, great thought-provoking stuff, as always. And,
thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you again next week.
Can we talk more about 160 pounds scrotum?
Yes, absolutely. We will do a segment devoted entirely to that next week.
Excellent.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you then. Bye. All right, 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
A hoe. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. See, heavily redacted, as they say, my latest hate letter.
This is awesome.
From Bob.
Okay.
This is from Bob. Okay. I guess this was at you. Oh, he wrote me a current. This was nice. I'm not going to read most of it, because I don't care, what they say about me, but I'm not going to read stuff.
This is interesting.
I'm not. Pass this on to the nag and her two empty testicles.
Did he call me F-word for...
Oh, lots of times.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Just going to leave that part off.
That's pretty third grade of him.
Let's just get to me, yes. Stephanie, all you do during your show is look at yourself in the mirror and in the monitors. Okay, Bob, first of all, I don't have a monitor or a mirror, but...
Nice try.
Whatever. Don't worry, you look the ugly, self-victimized, spelled wrong.
Sure, of course.
Piece of that you are. Okay.
I'm guessing Bob's a gun nut.
I'm guessing I've touched a nerve.
Hmm.
Get back to looking at yourself in the monitor. You know
there's
what,
no
Bob?
Monitor.
There's no monitor.
I don't have a monitor. Would I show up looking like this if I cared about how I look?
We don't even.
I'm on my way to spinning class, yeah. Bob. I don't care.
We don't even get current TV in this room.
All is in the mirror, Stephanie. C word, hag.
Mm.
So it's not just the C word and not just the hag. C word, hag.
Wow.
That's me.
That's inventing a new word.
Sea hag, only different.
Yeah.
The mommy dog.
Wow. No matter how much you look at yourself, it won't change how you look. You look the idiot. You look about as attractive and womanly as. And then some things about you, too, that I can't read there about stains.
I would like
and
to
things.
Know.
No, I'll give it to you after.
Okay.
Stains and things. You don't want to know. Okay. And when you eat, you look like a peasant.
Ooh, there's an insult. Peasant.
I am both a C-word hag and a peasant.
Well, he's obviously voting for Romney if you call him a peasant.
A peasant.
You people.
A sloppy, have gotten... drooling peasant. You eat like a cow. Okay. You are anything but feminine. Do I look like I'm trying to be feminine? Way to go, Current. An entire network with self-righteous? What is
self-righteous?
What is a self-righteous person?
Self-righteous?
Yes, he heard somebody say that, and he thought it meant self-righteous.
Self-righteous.
Like you're frightening and frighteous or something in a Dr. Seussian way.
Victimized, also.
Victimized?
Spelled wrong.
Oh, wow.
Complainers, blamers, and whiners. It will go over good with the 13-year-old.
Well, it will go over well.
Wow. There's that.
13-year-old.
Can't spell or conjugate.
Demographics.
Demographics?
Spelled wrong.
Okay.
And welfare recipients. Also spelled wrong. Apparently that's our entire demographic is 13-year-old welfare recipients.
Sure.
What an elitist that guy is.
Bad spellers of the world. Untie. Okay.
No, that'd be dyslexics.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. Okay, Bob.
That's right, interesting.
Bob. Thank you, Bob. I'll just be over here being a C-word hag, sloppy, drooling peasant.
I can't wait to see what he said about us.
No, you don't want it.
No. No, we don't want it.
He doesn't want it, but you can look at it. Okay, let's go to R.D. in Lubbock, Texas. Hello, R.D.
Two fat homos?
Stop it! Okay, don't.
Hello?
Pardon me. Hello, R.D. Give that back to me.
How are you doing?
No.
Good, R.D. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I come from Lubbock, Texas, and it's about as red as it can get here. And my husband has been a lifetime member of the NRA, which is his right. I respect that.
Right.
But guess what? Right after this tragic shooting, the next morning, 9 o'clock, the phone rings. It's the NRA calling us trying to soak money out of us.
Wow. Yeah, and they're telling us not to politicize it by even talking about any aspect of the tragedy, right?
Yeah, they're calling they call all the time. They send letters all the time. They want money all the time. They're a scam organization.
Well, and R.D., furthermore, what do they need money for? They have just about every lawmaker in their pocket, in both the sides of the aisle. They know there's no way any kind of gun control is going to get enacted. What do they need more money for?
Maybe to buy ammo for lunatics.
Listen, they're scams. They are a part, hate to say this, but I think they're a big, big, big part of the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Funders. And they're just... They're ridiculous, they're shameless, and, I don't know what else to say about them, but they disgust me and their tactics.
Thank you, R.D., good point. All right, see, now we're trying to have a
serious
conversation.
Did you see what we should change the name of the show to?
No, don't read it. Give me that back. I don't. Okay. I'm not going to give it more credence. I can't share anything with you. Oh my God, we're going to get in such a scuffle. Marianne in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. Thanks
Hello.
For taking my call.
Yes, Marianne.
I just wanted to make a quick little retort to, I think his name was Craig in California,
yes.
regarding the whole scenario in the theater. The interviews and the coverage that I listened to over the weekend and that day, the victims and the survivors that were interviewed said, you know, initially they were really confused because they thought it was part of the show.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They thought it was a publicity stunt. I mean,
exactly. And this guy, they showed on one of the, I don't know if it was CNN or where I saw it, but they actually showed invoices So for him to say, oh, he only had a vest on, no, he didn't. No. Even the cop said he was totally dressed in regalia, exactly
right.
like what they had, except his gas mask.
Yeah,
was
Marianne.
A different,
right. The Chief Bratton made a good point that had his gun not jammed, the police would have been outgunned. I mean, even the police responding, it wouldn't have been able to. So, you know, these idiots, these armchair heroes going, oh, I would have done this and somebody should have done that. It's like, oh, please.
Yeah.
All right.
That has a ring to it, what he suggests we change the name of the show to.
Let's just go with C-word hag, sloppy drooling peasant show. Okay,
yeah,
we'll be right back.
That rolls off the tongue.
We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show this hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the very best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, who's sometimes called other names. Voice deity Jim Warder.
Also
me, Stephanie
called other names.
Other names.
Me, Stephanie Miller. Please call me the C-word hag, won't you?
Yeah.
Like Bob did. Our most awesome hate letter writer ever.
And,
wow.
And probably the most illiterate hate letter we've
yeah.
gotten, which is something.
What do I know? I'm a sloppy, drooling peasant.
He was kind of repetitive in there, too.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I got
I don't think.
How can I be a narcissist and a sloppy, drooling peasant?
Yeah.
And some work.
And how can you accuse someone of being a peasant when your spelling and syntax are that bad?
Yeah.
All right. That was awesome. Okay. And sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Get it, go, the Pantages Show. It's the big party in L.A. Mm-hmm. Almost sold out. A star-studded event both on, we have some surprises on panel.
Mm.
Some celebrity surprises and in the audience.
Yeah.
All
some celebrities who are just showing up for the show.
And two big celebrities opening the show.
Who?
Jim Warden, Chris Lavoie.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. All right. Here he is, another unsolicited testimonial from Perry. Oh, no, it's a woman. I'm sorry, the official Granite Bay grandmother of the Stephanie Miller Show. Mom and the Mooks, I had to take my brand new Lexus in for service. Yes, liberal. Oh, she's a Lexus liberal.
Oh, dear.
Good for her.
Okay.
And since I was the first one in the service waiting room, I was able to put on any TV station I wanted, so I changed it from Fox News to current.
Yay.
She changed it to current crystals. Or she replaced their Fox crystals with never
current
mind.
Crystals.
Yeah, right. Okay. An older white man walked in, looked at the TV, and under his breath said, S-word.
Oh. Ew.
Maybe he's the letter writer. Maybe he's Bob. Who knows?
Mm.
Did I change the channel? Heck no. I made him watch you, as well as the rest of all the incoming customers. After an hour of him pretending not to be watching, I caught him out of the corner of my eye, nodding his head in agreement to something Mama said. I think I turned Mr. from the dark side. I think we turned him, if only for a moment, Perry.
Oh, wow.
Aww.
Yeah, if you could just force-feed people current TV,
people
who are addicted to Fox,
right.
I think we could change them.
Turn
you know what?
Yeah.
Trust me, if you watch even long, just for a little bit, you will agree with something that this sloppy, drooling peasant C-word hag says. Join us.
You elitist peasant.
All right. All right. And by the way, I'm not the drooler on the show. That's Jim about Jackie Schechner and every other woman on the show.
Yeah.
So it's not me. Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what it's doing, shall we? Here we go. Bill O'Reilly, here we go on the gun debate.
Yeah.
Yes.
The truth is criminals will always get guns, always. So why do the far left loons want to take guns away from law-abiding citizens who want protection? The authorities can't protect us. They react after we're shot.
Yes.
The Second Amendment is there for a reason. The Founding Fathers firmly believe that Americans should have the right to protect themselves.
In the context,
folks know the government can't protect us from monsters
militia.
Like James Holmes in Colorado.
By the way, that's why Carolyn McCarthy made the best point on Meet the Press. And I've got to get this actual quote, Chris, but she actually said the actual numbers. I think she said the police were there I think in 90 seconds.
90 seconds. Yep. Yeah.
And she said, and that he had already gotten off, I don't even remember how many, 90 rounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't think that's a problem right there? It's like, no, the police can't protect us when you have people that can get off 90 rounds. I mean,
right.
And that's a pretty quick response time.
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
So kudos to the
yeah,
Aurora police.
Yeah,
holy
I heard
cow.
I heard people in Aurora have been walking around sort of randomly, like thanking
yeah.
cops and hugging them, and you know, which I think is great because you're right, they did the best they can.
Sure.
You know, and as Chief Bratton said, as we just mentioned last hour, had his gun not jammed, the police might have been outgunned. We might have lost a bunch of policemen in this incident as well. All right, Rush Limbaugh.
You wouldn't believe it. Why does Obama do this? He had to say. My daughters go to the movies. What if they had been in that theater? Well, this is very typical. This is an ego maniac who really thinks that the people of this country think he is more important than any other human being alive
saying,
in this country.
Idiot.
He said the same thing that Romney did, that I'm here as a husband and a father.
Yeah.
To...
God.
Okay. Yeah. But he, when he says that, he's an egotist. He's a, you know,
uppity.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when Romney says it, he's a national hero.
Oh, boy. Okay, Dana Loesch, is there a reason you're lashing out at us?
Yeah.
You're lashing out. You're lashing out at us.
Loesching out with Dana Loesch.
With the soothing sounds of Dana Loesch.
Looking especially at how some of our foreign policy has been handled, Hillary Clinton essentially siding with the Muslim Brotherhood candidate in Egypt, and then it was discovered that her top aide, Huma Abedin, is essentially a member of the female version of the Muslim Brotherhood, Muslim Sisterhood. All of this, it seems enough to me to pose questions as to why our government is becoming so close with a group that has been so hostile to the United States, has fought against the United States, has sided with terrorists, and is a very oppressive regime that believes in Sharia law.
So you're saying the president is a Muslim? Is that what you're slyly insinuating?
Wow! Yeah. By the by, I think we talked about this earlier. Would you believe that there's a story of, where is this, what do you call it, her opponent? Because, you know, every cycle they go, oh, you know, someone might beat Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah.
Someone actually might beat Michelle Bachmann at this point because, so many Republicans have backed away from her and these crazy comments about Huma Abedin and all of this stuff. Bachmann's
If she were an Islamic, whack job. Would she marry a Jewish guy?
No.
That's her cover, obviously.
And did she just make up the Muslim Sisterhood? I don't think that organization exists.
Yes.
Okay. In her mind, it does.
Okay.
Yes. Bachmann's baffling quest, the story reads, to root out Muslim infiltrators in the federal government could be the final piece in the puzzle Democrats have been trying to solve for years. Hotel executive Jim Graves is the Democratic Party. First of all, he's got money on his side. He's got momentum. He said it's definitely, I think, cemented people that may be in the middle that say, well, you know, she's really out there, but we need somebody to keep Congress in line. I think this has gone well over the edge for people. Ed Rollins, her former campaign manager, he was particularly, he basically just came out to me and said she's a liar. She's a liar, and she's really gotten crazy, and this is, ridiculous. he said a lot of Republicans in the district say this is the straw that broke the camel's back. We can't afford to have this uncertainty and fear-mongering and McCarthyism. And by the way, he said, I would be what she describes as a job creator. He's owns a hotel chain, and so we'll see. But, when you have not just McCain, but who else? Boehner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on the House floor have spoken out against her in this craziness.
She's nuts. Absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Talking about extremists.
Yeah.
As Charlie Pierce says, what, do you want a cookie? What, you just, you just realized that now? Oh, my God. All right, Sean Hannity.
He had the House and Senate for 2 years.
No, he did not. Correct.
He had his agenda adopted. His stimulus, his budgets, his health care plan, everything that he wanted.
Nope.
And he also said he predicted his administration, we'd be at 5.6% unemployment. Here's the point. When does he get responsibility for his plan that he implemented with his Democratic allies in the House and Senate for those people that are suffering in this country today?
Oh, God. Boy, oh, boy. First of all.
If you're starting in negative numbers, if you're above zero, you're already ahead of the game.
Yeah.
I mean,
First of all, never had control of the House and Senate.
Right.
Thank you.
No.
And obviously, even the stimulus, as most economists, well, a lot of them at this point say it should have been bigger.
Right. Yeah.
That was the most they could get out of this kind of Congress.
Right.
It 2008
wasn't that
saved
long
and created
ago.
Jobs, but you know, it's just whatever. Okay.
Bikini graph. Look it up.
Thank you. Greta Van Susteren, Fox News.
If he was taken out of context and he didn't mean that the government, you know, is really the reason why you're successful, I'm actually short-circuiting a little bit, is that I would have said, you know what, you all are taking it so out of context, it's so unfair, this is what I meant, you all knew it. But he hasn't, so of course it's safe to assume that he meant the government.
Look,
what's she talking about?
She's talking about Obama's comments being taken out of context about, and because he hasn't said, I was taken, I think he has said that.
Yeah, he has.
Yes. I don't know what she's talking about. She's saying, oh, well, I guess he did mean that. If he's, it was so clear what he was saying.
Right.
He wasn't saying you didn't build your small businesses.
Small businesses.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, he was paraphrasing Elizabeth Warren.
Yes.
She talked about you didn't do it all yourself. You had public roads that we all paid for.
Yes.
The cops to protect your facility.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Bill O'Reilly on the...
This is a vital election. Mm-hmm. President Bush is an... let's say he is a prestigious Republican. He's prestigious.
Really?
You got a two-term president sitting it out? Sitting it out?
But he was... Look, he has to be true to himself.
No, he doesn't. He has to be generous to the country.
Look, one of the...
All I'm saying is this. If Mitt Romney asked W to do him some favors, by and it'd have to be fundraising. That's what it would have to be, all right? Would you go here, speak to this crew?
Yes.
They're
going to
donate money.
Great idea.
I mean, he almost has to do it. I would think he would have to do it.
Absolutely.
For once, Bill O'Reilly and I agree. George Bush needs to be out there every day. Absolutely. He should be the face of this campaign.
Talking about
he is prestigious and also an excellent speaker.
How awesome his two terms were.
That was awesome. I had a lot of power. I could have blowed stuff
famous.
Up.
I was famous.
I just could press the button and boom! Just like I did with them frogs when I was a kid.
Shocking off. Okay.
Matt tweeted me and said, what, you've never heard of the Muslim sisterhood, the women empowering side of Sharia law?
Yeah.
The feminist version of the Muslim brotherhood. Yeah, sure.
Wow.
It's a breakaway feminist sect.
Dana Loesch is a bleeping idiot.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
all right. 17
she's a Loesch load.
17 minutes after the hour on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested. John Conyers approved. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Get up on your feet. Get up and make it happen.
Oh, yeah, the rhythm is going to get you.
Do not. Gloria Estefan.
No.
She's just warning you. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right. Oh, this is from, let's see who we have. Mike in Texas, to our armchair vigilantes this morning.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an AR-15, a rifle, two pistols, body armor. You've got a Glock 9 and a shirt from Walmart. You're disoriented and don't know what's happening. He's focused and knows exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Let's say you live through all this and chase him out of the theater. The cops don't see him, but they see you running with your gun.
Yeah.
Who are they taking down?
Yeah, exactly.
Finally, how many people get caught in your crossfire? Let's say you have a five concealed carry compadres with you firing at the guy. Do you really think the body count would be fewer than 12 and you won't get caught in the crossfire? You've got to ask yourself, do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Joe Bob?
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Very good.
All right. Claire
in thinking.
Claire in Madison. Hi, Claire.
Howdy, longtime listener.
Thank you.
I'm kind of an oxymoron here. I'm a Democrat with 15 guns.
Wow.
And
that's fine.
And
that's okay.
I wanted to comment that there is a legitimate use for the what you call an assault rifle. I've been hunting with the family, you know, for years, and our family has the largest apple orchard in Wisconsin, family-owned apple orchard, millions of dollars worth of trees.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we hunt for deer, it's not your Norman Rockwell hunting. We are harvesting deer, but we're also pest control. And we have, with about 18 guys and gals, a couple years in a row, we shot 60 deer amongst 18 people. And the DNR here in Wisconsin has this chronic wasting disease program where they give you 4 tags a day during the 10-day season. So mm-hmm. if you filled each tag, that would be 40 deer you can shoot legally.
Right.
Okay. And so I have been using up till when I bought an AR-10. Now, the AR-10 is the larger caliber, deer caliber version of this assault rifle, in quotes. And I had been using a World War II German Mauser that my dad brought back from World War II. You know, it's got quite a history. Now, that's a weapon of war, but that's what we have been using. After every war,
this is literally the deer hunter is becoming. Yeah. This is very frightening. But go ahead.
7.9 millimeters.
The thing about the AR-10 is I'm disabled, so I sit up at the head of the valley, and the rest of the gang, they drive the whole valley, and that's hard work, through the brambles, through the brush, and they drive these deer out where I'm waiting for them, and it's impossible to hit more than one deer with a bolt-action rifle. It's just never been able to do it. Now with a semi-automatic, I have shot maybe 3 at once or 2 at once.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just efficient. And one time, I've got a 10-round clip, which works well.
Right, but Claire, I get your point. But I mean, isn't there also a difference between a 10-round clip and 100 rounds? I mean, the assault ban, all it banned was these magazines that are 100 rounds, right?
Right. I've got no problem with the clip capacity ban. My 20-round clip that came with it is impractical. It's heavy. You have to carry all that ammo in there. It jams, so I don't even use it. I use the 10-round.
All right. Claire, I get your, I get his point, but I think he's saying, you know, it's just, and that's all this is. I don't think people even get it, but that's all this is the magazines that are these huge capacity magazines. By the way, here's not breaking news to anybody. Chris Christie was rude during a press conference.
Oh, wow, that's a switch.
He said New Jersey has sufficient gun laws on the books and criticized opportunistic politicians for sending out press releases and trying to make political points in the wake of the shooting. So no one, again, is allowed to talk about any kind of reasonable gun control because then you're politicizing.
So,
then you're a commie.
Politicians maybe want to get gun control laws on the books like New Jersey has. They're not allowed to push for that? According to Chris Christie? Okay.
All right. The judge in the James Holm hearing yesterday.
Given the nature of the charges, you are currently being held on a no bond hold.
Yeah.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah. This is the district attorney.
Yeah.
She said no case is a slam dunk.
Yeah.
If this one isn't, I don't know.
Well, I mean, she's covering her bases.
Yeah. I would say there's no such thing as a slam dunk case. It is a case where we're still looking at the enormous amount of evidence, and we would never presume that it would be slam dunk. We will work very hard on this case to prosecute it just like we would any other case.
That's a district attorney who's being cautious.
Well, until the trial.
She should be.
Until the trial, it's an alleged.
Absolutely.
And, you know, let me tell you right now, too, this is going to... you know, the death penalty debate is going to start again because they have a death penalty in Colorado, but only one inmate's been executed since 1977. So, and I think they have 3 inmates currently on death row, but so that, you know, that's going to be a whole. And I think they said they talk to the victims before they make a decision on that. The Holmes family attorney yesterday.
The family wants to reiterate that their hearts go out to the victims and their families. The Holmes family would like to maintain their privacy. So at this time, we will not be discussing James or his relationship to the family.
Okay. Yeah, and we were saying that was sort of that curious story yesterday that the mother, I guess, you know, she changed her statement because ABC News reported that she said you've got the right person.
Right.
And she was saying she was referring to herself.
But, I'm sure the lawyer advised her to change her statement because she was implicating her own son.
And it also looked a little... weird that they asked if there was an audio recording, and when they were told no, an hour later she came out with a statement. So, more on that I'm sure is going to come out as we move along. All right, Annie and Willie Nelson, yay!
Can't wait.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
If you were any other woman on Earth, I would be turned on right now.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Kids, Sexy Liberal, Saturday night, L.A. It's the Pantages. And our good friends, Annie and Willie Nelson, bought tickets. And they cannot go. Their son has a concert Saturday night. So we're auctioning them off, and the money will go to their organization, FuelResponsibility.org. Hey, Willie and Annie, been Sexy Liberals long before any of us, and they join us now. Okay, let me see if I can operate the phone system.
Okay.
They're in different lines. Hang on a second. All right.
No,
Annie's one of those independent women.
No.
Uh-oh. No, I did that wrong. Okay.
No, I got it.
Okay. All right.
There.
Okay. There we go. Hello, Annie and Willie Nelson. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Well, we're great. We're big fans. We watch y'all all the time.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
I am so excited to hear that, and more excited that you're cheating on Randy Rhodes with me, which makes which makes me so happy.
Trust me, we'll hear about it.
No, I was telling you, I've never gotten to meet you guys. I've always been huge fans, and I know I hear her talking about you guys, and I'm like, how come I'm not friends with Annie and Willie Nelson? But yeah, you really are. You're the original Sexy Liberals. You've been doing, I mean, Willie, you started, I mean, Farm Aid. Talk about how you got, I didn't even know all this about you politically, but talk about how you started and all this stuff.
And actually, before he starts, Luke's concert at the Roxy that same night is in benefit for Farm Aid.
Uh-huh. Oh, awesome.
Oh, very cool.
Awesome.
And that's at the Roxy, yeah.
Well,
25 years ago, we did our first Farm Aid, and we thought that that would be all that would be necessary, and the folks in Washington are so smart, once they figured out that the people wanted to help the farmers, we knew they would help. 25 years later, and it's worse than it was then. We had about 8 million small family farmers at one time, and now we've got about a half a million, about 500,000 small family farmers.
And in between picking up your 7 Grammys,
please don't make his head any bigger.
You gotta have to buy a new cowboy hat.
Well deserved Grammys, though.
Yeah. Oh my God. I had not known this. You produce your own blend of biodiesel fuel. So you not only have been way out in front of the environmental curve, but you've had that famous bus for a long time.
We've been using biodiesel in the buses for a very long time, and been trying to promote it. And it's something that our farmers can grow, and we don't have to go around the world starting wars over oil and stuff.
It's fuelresponsibility.org, right, Annie?
No, it's actually fuelresponsibly.org.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a mouthful, I know.
But we put a link to it up at Stephanie's Facebook page, so it's right there.
Right. If you Google, I think, sustainable biodiesel, because there's a difference between renewable and sustainable, then you come up with our organization. And it is. We do. The reason that we can use the bio Willie in it is because the fuel's already been vetted, and it is sustainable.
Well, and more importantly, how come Randy Rhodes gets to be on the cool bus with you, and I've never gotten an invitation?
You're always welcome.
Okay.
Just come on.
Just don't tell her.
I'm friends with her. She can do the time checks. All right.
Girlfriend can get hostile.
She's feisty.
She's feisty.
So Willie, tell me about the new album. Heroes is the name of the new Willie Nelson album.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of my friends on there, a bunch of my heroes, really. It's Billy Joe Shaver. I wrote the song about Billy Joe, and Ray Price, and Chris Christopherson, and Sheryl Crow.
And your son?
And my son, Lucas, and Micah, and Jamie Johnson, and, a lot of my buddies.
And the one I don't know why that I just caught my eye immediately was "Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die" with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, that's our theme song now.
It's the anthem.
That's awesome.
I wonder what that's referring to. Willie, have you always been political? Because I think, like I say, I didn't realize you literally are the original Sexy Liberal.
Well, I have been kind of involved, and especially since I got involved with trying to help the family farmers. And matter of fact, September 22nd, our next Farm Aid is in Hershey, Pennsylvania, if you don't mind me sneaking in a plug.
Yeah, do it. Get it.
And how can you not be political if you're human?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think that, they keep saying these times are so polarized, but in my opinion, it's because this Republican Party has moved so far to the right. I think most of us are more in the center, really.
Yes.
Who is it?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, well, that there is that fringe that, that they represent, which kind of makes me curious about that. Doesn't it seem a little strange that Romney and Obama are neck to neck when really the majority of the people don't feel that way, and they are human, and that's why they're political, because they actually have attachments to humans on the planet.
Right, and I think in the Romney thing is like, who does he, which carbon-based life form does he appeal to exactly?
Right. I think, Chris, there was a response on mine from one of you guys that I tweeted the other day that he was the double bubble boy,
yeah.
Romney, because he... Because he actually grew up in two bubbles. He grew up in the bubble of wealth, and he grew up in the Mormon bubble.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you connect? In his defense, how do you connect?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been talking, obviously, about this tragedy in Colorado, and, you know, interested to get your guys' take on it, because I just, I think, how do we get to a place where we can't even have a debate? Apparently the debate's over on any kind of gun control.
Because we've been kowtowed to believe we can't, but we can.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
well, it's ridiculous to have a gun out there that anyone can buy bullets for that'll shoot 100 times.
Yeah.
That just does not make any sense at all.
Yeah. I was mentioning earlier, Chris Rock's bit, that we should have bullet control where bullets cost $5,000 a piece.
That was amazing. And I asked the question, then why can't we have, if our aim is to, or our right is to compete with the government, who, by the way, is us, then and we have control over that if we take it. But if that's the goal, then why can't we have nukes? And I got the old, oh, because they're not legal. Well, then let's make these not legal.
Yeah.
Right.
And they just
shut up.
That's the cognitive dissonance completely.
Yeah.
It's
so difficult to have that conversation.
You know what has a nice ring to it? Senator Annie Nelson. Just saying.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I like
that.
That'll
happen, because I need another job.
Right.
I'm multitasking while we're talking. I've taken out, by the way, you've gone with me to take out the recycling and the garbage.
Oh.
And if we could do, you know, go to meeting to maybe give birth, it would be great.
Awesome.
That's right.
Please, next time you give birth, please do it on GoToMeeting so we can all see.
Anything to stay off the freeways in L.A.
Yes.
Tell us about your talented son. He's playing at the Roxy on Saturday.
Oh, gosh, it sounds like bragging. Okay, well, this record should have been called Nepotism instead of Heroes, because they're all on it. I mean, there's three of them on it, but it's... he's really good. I used to think, okay, it's just me. I'm a mom, right? And that's how I feel about my kids, my dogs, and whatever. And then I go into the shows and I go up into the audience and just see their reactions. And they actually, he's got an amazing show. I know he's my kid, but it's really good. He's channeling all like really good music when older guys, you know, the classic kind of musicians go to hear him, they're in tears because they say, oh my God, somebody's finally bringing real music.
You know, Annie, scientists may one day decide there is Grammy winning sperm. Do you know what I'm saying?
It clearly is
genetically, transmitted.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to respond because what I want to say can't be said.
All right.
Uh-huh.
In response to that, but yeah, hell yeah.
Hell yeah, hell to the yeah. And here's the other thing, by the way, we have to thank you, because we were saying that this is like, in this year of Mitt Romney and the whole like top 1% and 99% debate and people paying their fair share, we were saying, you guys just bought your tickets. You didn't ask us. I mean, if we'd known, we obviously would have given CompuTour. We were thrilled to know you were fans, and you just bought these tickets. And so, obviously, because of your son's concert, we're going to auction them off to raise money for your for this organization, mm-hmm. thefuelresponsibly.org. You can go to stephaniemiller.com right
now. That's right. On the right-hand side of the page, there's the link to the auction for the tickets.
Yeah, and there's some sweet tickets.
Yes, they are.
For a VIP orchestra.
I wanted to sit in a good spot, and thank you for doing that. And I really, honestly, had I not done it, I'm glad we're doing it for the Sustainable Biodiesel Alliance, because local is really national security.
Right.
But I forgot about the Trevor Project, so I'm making a donation to the Trevor Project.
Oh, thank you.
I forgot about that.
Oh, no, that's okay. We pick a different sexy liberal cause in every city we're in, and here in L.A. there are all our good friends at the Trevor Project that are, you know, helping. The only 24-hour suicide hotline for gay kids.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So, yeah, but everybody wins. See, sexy liberals, everybody wins.
That's right.
There you go. Annie and Willie Nelson, what a pleasure. I'm going to call Randy Rhodes almost the second we hang up.
Okay, I better send that buffer email.
I block your calls for a little while. Okay. Annie and Willie Nelson, thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Have fun. Have fun on the 28th, too.
We will. Okay. Hope to meet you soon.
Whoever gets the tickets, enjoy them.
They will. They will. We'll just put a cowboy hat in the seat. People will know which ones were yours.
Yeah. And I'll tell them, don't channel in too much, because unless you have a license, you can get arrested here.
All right. Annie and Willie, thanks so much, you guys. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
All right,
there they go. I just want to hear Sean Brokaw report on renewable, sustainable biodiesel.
They are such cool people. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I was so thrilled. Every now and again, you'll find out someone's a fan. I'm like, yeah. No way!
No way!
Take that, Hoa. And by the way, it's 44 after. All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Already some bids on the Willie Nelson tickets.
Yep.
To Sexy Liberal this Saturday at the Pantages to benefit his fuelresponsibly.org organization,
yep,
which is fabulous. Is there anyone that's ever had to go on the road for anything that just doesn't play in your head?
On the road again.
It does for me on Sexy Liberal, except that I can wait to get back on the road. I hate the road, but other than that, I love this song. Thank God I can stumble to the Pantages from my house.
You kind of
this
can.
Saturday. I can see the Pantages from my house.
Is on the road again.
Yes. To all the girls I've loved before, we were talking. And then the thing I forgot to mention to him, he wrote Crazy.
Yeah, by Patsy Cline.
How
the biggest
awesome
jukebox hit of all time.
He wrote Crazy.
And as you know, it's not the singer that gets all the money for
the songwriter.
It's the songwriter. So Willie's...
Remind me to ask
that's
the Willie
a lot
person
of sustainable
cash next
biodiesel.
Time.
Willie can afford the VIP tickets. Let's just say that.
They can be yours.
Yes.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Let's. Oh, by the way,
what?
We've had a lot of armchair, vigilantes calling,
yep,
in today that woulda done, shoulda, coulda.
Yeah, I would use my spidey senses and my kung fu action grip and walked on the ceiling and
yeah,
the
right.
TV.
Yeah, echoing Russell Pierce's comments,
sure,
that apparently the people in the theater are to blame because they weren't
cowards,
courageous,
yeah,
or manly,
right,
enough.
They're a bunch of pussies.
Or well armed enough. Yeah. Don writes, Steph, I earned an expert marksmanship badge twice when I was in the Army. If I could magically transport my 20-year-old self with eyesight, reflexes, and weapons training intact to that theater, my 20-year-old judgment would have told me not to take that shot,
yeah,
which,
yeah,
says something about the judgment of those who would. Thank you.
Exactly.
Don the trucker, smartest boy in class this morning. Thank you. Blaze in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Blaze.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, I was just curious, harking back to an hour or so ago, what does one wear with a 6-foot scrotum?
with 160 pound scrotum?
Sweatpants.
I don't know. Yeah. I was just
extra
curious.
Large sweatpants.
I
kilt.
Just curious. Anyway, hey, check this out. I was just thinking, gun control and all that, how come we can have these shootings, you know, how can you go back to like Littleton and you know, yeah, Columbine and the whole nine yards. It's just, it's tragic. And nothing, it's just kind of, everybody says, oh, it's so sad. Then we move on. But, you know, you get 6-8 baseball players that do steroids. You have congressional hearings.
Right.
Yeah, like,
exactly.
Thank you. Exactly. They got time for that. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Very nice. All right. Well, Chick-fil-A's in trouble now because the Muppets have...
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
In a wheel.
Oh, I'm thinking of
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
In the wheel.
Chick-fil-A in a wheel. I would like to hear Nell order a Chick-fil-A. Okay. With a Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A on the side with my...
And in a wheel. Mm-hmm. All right. Listen, I don't have to be encouraged to do Nell. It's...
I know.
My fascination.
It's the one impression you do that's still alive.
Oh.
What?
All right. Are you suggesting I'm not current?
Well,
you're on current TV.
In a Facebook note posted Friday evening, the Jim Henson Company, which currently offers toys in Chick-fil-A's kids' meals, announced they will no longer partner with the fast food chain because of its anti-gay policies. Mm-hmm. They're no longer going to play in any of their homophobic reindeer games. So there.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Yeah. Jim Henson Company has celebrated and embraced diversity and inclusiveness for over 50 years. They wrote, "We have notified Chick-fil-A that we do not wish to partner with them on any future endeavors. Lisa Henson, our CEO, is personally a strong supporter of gay marriage and has directed us to donate the payment we receive from Chick-fil-A to GLAAD."
Wow.
That's got to singe their ass over at Chick-fil-A. Oh, thank God for Mike.
Stick that in your 160-pound scrotum.
Yeah. Right? Oh, thank God. Mike Huckabee to the rescue. He has organized a Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. Mediaite reporting to defend the restaurant's right to be anti-gay. Mediaite writes, Chick-fil-A, their God-given right to oppress gay people has been totally ruined by the decision of some people to say totally mean things about them. Fortunately, Mike Huckabee is here to save the day and defend Chick-fil-A's right to be anti-gay. Oh, boy. Is this from Mike Huckabee's Facebook now?
Yep.
Oh, for God's sakes. I've been incensed at the vitriolic assaults on Chick-fil-A. Me, too. It's the biggest issue facing America. It's a great American story that's being smeared by vicious hate speech and intolerant bigotry from the left.
Vicious?
I asked you to join me in speaking out on Wednesday, Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day.
Wait a minute, how people
is
saying...
Is that tomorrow? How do I plan that quickly for that?
People saying that they're not going to eat at Chick-fil-A, how is that vicious hate speech?
I don't know.
Media,
you are required to eat at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
It's in the Constitution.
Yeah. But tomorrow you are.
Yeah, Mike Huckabee's being a little hyperbolic.
Media, right? So gather around, good people.
Squirrel,
eat your chicken
popper.
Proudly. Yes, you eat squirrel cooking a popcorn popper.
Right.
What the hell do you know? Eat your chicken proudly, look to the sky, and shout to the heavens, hello world of the year 2012. I still somehow believe that keeping a group of people from having the same rights as I am is not bigoted. It's Christian. Yummy, yummy chicken.
You know, Mike Huckabee and family, they're a little softig. They might want to stay...
Which Christmas card are you referring to?
They might want to stay away from
the
fast food for a little while. I'm just saying.
Squirrel is leaner. Okay.
Just, you know.
Wow, speaking of homophobic, how's about that Palin family? They're sort of...
Hillbillies?
Sort of loose with the homophobic slurs around that clan, aren't they?
Yeah, a little bit.
Don't they ever say they get an argument on social media? Some of them call somebody a, you know, F word.
Kind of like that letter that...
This is precious. Little, yeah. I bet you Palin wrote that hate letter.
Nah, not enough misspellings.
Little Trip Palin calls Aunt Willow the F word for gay man on Bristol Palin's reality show.
That's precious.
And stupid,
from
too.
From the mouths of babes.
Woman.
As in stupid F word? Okay.
No.
The apple don't fall far from the
die. F-word for gay man.
Yeah.
The apple does not fall far from the
die.
In that family. That doesn't make any sense, but neither does anything they say.
No, that's true.
Okay. I'm doing a terrible job disciplining Trip, Bristol Palin admits on her Lifetime reality show Life's a Trip. And yes, giggling when your toddler calls his aunt a F-word for gay man is probably not a great way to let him know it's not a nice word. The complete lack of shame is especially embarrassing given there were cameras filming it all. Gay-friendly Lifetime cameras, no less. Oh, I see. Oh, the showrunner there is written to say that Tripp's bleeped expletive was and not...
Four-letter F-word, not
sure.
The six-letter F-word.
Either way, well, much better parenting, and thank God she's giving President Obama parenting advice from time to time.
Yeah. The Obamas appreciate that. The Obamas and their very well-behaved children really appreciate that.
Well, the worst part of Fred Willard's story, the movie was crap, apparently, according to Fred Willard. He said the worst part of his XXX movie theater arrest movie was crap.
What else are you going to say?
I mean, he will not be prosecuted. He will not be prosecuted. And he tweeted, wait till you hear my version, much more PG in my review, lousy film, but the theater would make a terrific racquetball court. Okay. Okay.
Well, she was just airing it out.
Yeah, could be just taking it out for a walk for air. Maybe he's got a 160-pound scrotum.
I think we would have noticed. He's been in a few films.
Not nude ones. John Travolta took his wife on a gaycation. What?
Yeah.
What?
What?
Yeah. Why? Well, you go, to get rid of that scandal.
Okay, yeah, if you have gay rumors swirling around you, why would you go to Mykonos?
The Greek island famous for gay nightlife?
Yeah.
It's advertised as having iconic status as a LGBT destination and features gay hotels, spas, beaches, and bars. Oh, well, you can get a massage there.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Good.
Well, that'll patch things up in the marriage. All right. Look, I don't have time to do marriage counseling for everybody, people. I'm busy reading my hate mail.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for us. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks.
Tomorrow.
Very exciting. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Taylor on phones and drums, current Jackie, Courtney, everybody
Kelby.
Current Kelby, current newsroom,
yes.
And control room. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
See you tomorrow.